Our reading today is from 2 Samuel, chapter 7. Now when the king was settled in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, the king said to the prophet Nathan, "See now, I am living in a house of cedar, but the ark of God stays in a tent." Nathan said to the king, "Go, do all that you have in mind, for the Lord is with you." But that same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan. "Go and tell my servant David, 'Thus says the Lord, are you the one to build me a house to live in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day, but I have been moving about in a tent and a tabernacle. Wherever I have moved about among all the people of Israel, did I ever speak a word with any of the tribal leaders of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Now, therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, 'Thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, to be prince over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you went, and have cut off all your enemies from before you. And I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, so that they may live in their own place and be disturbed no more. And evildoers shall afflict them no more as formerly. From the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel, and I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. Your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." The word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let your steadfast love come to us, O Lord. Save us as you promised, we will trust your word.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I'm a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who is said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. The visitation of Mary from the angel Gabriel is a familiar story. The angel Gabriel shows up to tell Mary that she will bear God's son. It's a familiar story that many of us know about, and I've often reflected on the story, imagining how maybe Mary might be frightened to see an angel, or maybe in awe, maybe excited. What would it be like if an angel showed up to say that I was going to be the one to bear God's son? I'm not quite sure what I would do with that. But interestingly, as we look deeper into this scripture, we see Mary's first reaction has absolutely nothing to do with the fact that an angel suddenly showed up at her house. Instead, her first reaction is to what the angel said to her. The angel shows up to Mary and says, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." And Mary, first reaction, is she is perplexed by the angel's words. And she wondered what sort of greeting that might be. It was the words of the angel that were perplexing, not that an angel suddenly showed up at her house. The words of the angel, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you," were perplexing. Now, to me, it seems like pretty straightforward. I'm not sure what's confusing at all about that. And yet, these words were perplexing to Mary. Why would she be favored? I mean, what do we think about when we think about someone who's been favored by God? Sometimes we'll even hear that term in our world today. They really have had God's favor bestowed on them, right? So people who have God's favor on them have the good life, right? They have a good job, they have a wonderful family, all kinds of friends, a great house, time for vacations, health, free from worry. That is a life of favor. For Mary, her life was far from favored. She comes from a poor family struggling to make ends meet. She's a woman in a world where only men matter. She's young in a world that favors the wisdom of age. She's a Jewish citizen in a country that is occupied by a foreign land, occupied by the Romans. There is not much about her life that would appear that she has a favored life. And so the angel's greeting may perplex her, does perplex her. "Greetings, favored one." Mary might have looked around to see if someone else had showed up in the room who was actually a favored one, because the angel must not be talking to her. She's even perplexed by the idea that God's with her. Because when your life is so full of struggle, it can often be challenging to see and experience that God is there with you. The absence of God many times becomes overwhelming to us in the midst of the struggles. There is much about Mary and her life that would lead her to doubt the sincerity of the angel's greeting. "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." The one possibility that may not have even crossed Mary's mind is that this angel was serious, that she is favored, and that God is with her. And so she's perplexed by this greeting. And yet, if we're honest with ourselves, I think that many times if an angel showed up for us and called us favored and God is with us, we too might feel a little perplexed by these words. Because right now, it's pretty difficult to feel favored and sometimes hard to feel like God is here with us. Now, don't get me wrong, we all know in our heads and believe in our heads that God is here, but to feel it in our hearts, to trust and believe this promise to be true, sometimes very difficult. Instead, we may find ourselves feeling alone and far from the favored life. And it's not only during this time, but often at many and various times in our life when this feeling of isolation or even being abandoned by God may come upon us. Job loss, death of a loved one, illness, the list goes on and on. There may be other times in our life when those doubts have crept in and we don't feel favored because our insecurities overcome us. We're not really favored because we're not smart enough. We're not kind enough, not capable enough, not lovable. We're just not enough. And this year, more than ever, there's a whole lot of us who have been shaken to our very core. We feel isolated and alone, and our insecurities have taken root. The pain and the brokenness of our world has broken us and leaves us shaking our head in doubt. Really? Favored? Really? God is with us? And yet, the angel doesn't leave Mary sitting there perplexed by the words, but instead the angel continues. The angel shares about God's plan for Mary. She has some questions about this whole plan and how this is actually going to take place. She needs a little bit of reassurance that this maybe isn't all a bad dream or even a good dream that she's having. Those who dream. Maybe she'll wake up and find out it wasn't true. And so this assurance is given to her that this promise is true, that her relative Elizabeth, in her old age, is pregnant in the sixth month. Eventually, the angel concludes with, "Nothing is impossible with God." And Mary is moved from being perplexed to filled with faith as she proclaims, "Let it be with me according to your word." The words of the angel no longer perplex her, but she has come to believe them to be true and that she is favored and that God is with her. And so she proclaims, "Let it be with me according to your word." Faith has overcome doubt, the self-doubt, the doubt in God's ability to be present, to do the impossible, and it's a beautiful ending of a story. But what I love this year is that oftentimes we end the story right there. But if you keep reading the story, which we did this year, is that Mary has this beautiful affirmation. And then she goes to see her relative Elizabeth. Because when the angel was there, she really believed those words. She really believed that God was with her and that she was favored. But now the angel has left and it begins to fade. Was that real? Was I imagining things? Is God really with me? Am I really favored? And so, like us, who so often find those times of deep faith interwoven with times of needing assurance once again, Mary returns to needing some more assurance. So Mary goes to visit her relative Elizabeth to see if the angel's words were really true. And when Elizabeth said, "Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken by the Lord," she again believed. Mary again became to believe that she was favored and that God was with her. But Mary needed someone else to remind her of God's favor and presence in her life. And oftentimes we need this as well. We need Elizabeth's, other people, to come and remind us of that promise that we know in our heads, but is hard to believe at that moment in our hearts. To remind us again that nothing is impossible with God and that we are favored and not alone. God sends these people to us all the time in many and various ways, or even as Maddie noted in our children's sermon earlier, in ways in our lives, little glimpses of God's promise all around us. We even see that God continues to come to us with these reminders because we need reminders that those who dream are not alone. Because sometimes we feel alone and do not feel favored. We do not feel that God is with us. And in the very midst of this, God's messengers show up, those angels, to bring us that message again. And other times, God moves us to be a messenger to those who are around us, who need to hear this word as well, to those who are perplexed and shake their heads in doubt that God is really with them. They need us to be an Elizabeth to them, to bring them these words of promise. It has been amazing, as Maddie shared earlier, this week to look for ways that God is calling you to be that Elizabeth, to show that love to others, to remind them that are not alone. But you've already been doing it. You've been doing it in many and various ways. This isn't something new for you to just start doing this week. You've already been at it. And so I'll share with you just a couple of images and stories of how you already are bringing these words of hope to others. On the screen, you'll see an image. This is just the beginning of when we began to gather presents for 56 children at Monroe Elementary. But one of the things that was amazing this year is that we have done this each year, bringing presents to the children at Monroe to bring them joy in this season and help them know they're not alone. But this year, we became aware that it was not only the kids at Monroe that needed to know this, that there were some teachers and staff members who also are struggling at this time, who need to know that they are not alone and that others are there supporting them. And so we also supported 3 teachers and staff members as well. In this next picture, you'll see a picture of presents piled on a table. Now, you can't see closely who those presents are all for. Again, just a small glimpse of them. But one of our youth, Maddie Elbiter, she decided to organize a teacher appreciation for the teachers at her high school at Loveland High so that they would receive teacher appreciation in December. She thought these teachers cannot wait until May to know they are appreciated. They need to know right now. So she put together a whole group and she organized so that the teachers at Loveland High would each receive a gift to remind them that they are not alone in this time, but they are favored as well. There have been many and various ways. Actually, I'm going to call Baylin now, and I didn't even ask her, but I know she organized an NHS toy drive. And Baylin, how many toys did you guys? It was a huge pile. I don't have that picture there. 300 toys that Baylin helped to organize for kids out of her high school. There are amazing stories. I hear stories from people who say, you know, I had this feeling that I just needed to call someone. They called that person because the Spirit was nudging them, and they come to find out that that person said, you know, I just feel like I'm all alone all the time. I don't see anyone. And today was one of the worst days. And your call was exactly what I needed. We have others who have provided meals for those who are sick. Those who have written just a thinking of you card to let people know they're not alone. And I've even heard that people are maybe a little more time on their hands to get those Christmas cards out. And so that they could reach out to others to share that Christmas joy. You've thanked our nurses and our doctors and our police. I think there's another image up here that we're going to go back to. It had a car with a big thank you on it. It was my sermon image. There we go. Sometimes we can't actually come, but just big signs that we're sharing, like, you're not alone, you're appreciated, right? To let people know how appreciated they are. So many and various ways that you all have been Elizabeths to people who are feeling alone and far from favored. God brings us this message to us, and God compels us to bring this message to others because the heart of Christmas is the promise that God loves us and that God comes to us. Emmanuel. God comes to you and to me over and over again in love to remind us again and again of this promise that God is with you. You are favored. You are loved. And God sends us out to love others because we have been filled with the life-giving love of God's presence and love in our lives. And so, the words of the angel are true words to Mary. They are true words to you and to me, that you are both favored and that God is with you always. Thanks be to God. Amen.